Group.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. As the announcement said, welcome to Live with Pastor Al. And I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us this afternoon and hope you're having a great day today. Absolutely gorgeous outside right now. It's just been enjoyable. I had the opportunity to be down in Kentucky this past week enjoying a little last hurrah of summer with some family down there and 80-degree temperature each day, and it was really nice getting down into the 60s at night and just comfortable weather. And of course, it's very comfortable here right now. I personally like it, this kind of weather. What's in the upper 60s, low 70s. I think it's just a very comfortable time. The humidity's down a bit and all. And just nice time to be in northeastern Ohio. The trees are starting to show their color. And I think they're a little behind this year because usually the peak of the color here in northeastern Ohio is usually right about the middle of the month, right about April 15th. That's pretty good, huh? October 15th, right about October 15th. They're starting to change faster every day. If they're going to reach the peak by the 15th, they're going to have to do a lot of changing here. But I'm not so worried about that. They're just looking nice. And I've noticed this year, compared to some years, a lot more reds coming out. It's very nice looking out the studio window right here right now. I can see some of the Virginia creeper in the trees out there across the way that they're turned red. A lot of the leaves are getting a yellow-orange tint to them. And there's one, it's like one tree I can see back in the distance that's got some red, but most of them are basically green. So it's going to be changing here in a little bit. And one of these days I'll look out there and I'll say, where did the leaves go? It'll be here before we know it. But enjoy these days while we have them. And I always think this is one of the best times to be in northeastern Ohio. Well, as I said, welcome to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you, as I said, till 2 o'clock. And you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs there. And you can read some various articles and things that I have there. And all that's available at livewithpastoral.com. You can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and we meet at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. That's 4174 Wheatley Road, and I stress the Suite 200, because if you're looking for a building with a steeple, you won't find us. We're in a commercial strip, and we have Suite 200, so you have to look for our door, and you won't mistake our door when you get to it. You can see the things in the window there, and you'll see where we're at, but it's at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. That's basically where Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road cross, and it is right where they cross, and essentially where 271 and 77 cross in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland. Love to invite you to come out and visit us, and especially tonight, be a good night to come out. We have our Bible study tonight. We have an informal Bible study, meets every Friday night from 7 o'clock until 9. If you're looking for a place where you can get together with God's people and enjoy some good fellowship and enjoy some, we always have some good refreshments there from some food and different things that people provide, and then spend some time around the Word of God. Bring your questions, and we talk about questions about the Bible, current events in light of God's Word, and I think you'll enjoy it if you're looking for a place like that. We have different people who visit. And we just, our goal is to help people understand the Word of God and point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with Him. And so that's, I hope you'll come out sometime. And then we have our regular church services there as well, in addition to our Bible study. We have our regular services there every Sunday at 11 o'clock. I'm currently preaching through the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 6, talking about Jesus being the bread of life. And then on Sunday evenings, in our Sunday evening service, I'm currently preaching through Proverbs chapter 25. We're coming down to the end of chapter 25, and last Sunday night had one of those passages in Proverbs that I always find to be an interesting word picture, where in Proverbs 25 verse 24 it says, "It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." And one of the reasons I preach through books of the Bible is I probably wouldn't necessarily pick that verse to preach on, but it's right there as I'm going through Proverbs. Have to cover it, and so it forces me to preach the whole counsel of God, various passages and things that I might avoid or not to just not get to, maybe not actually avoid, but just, well, I want to preach on something different, or I'd rather go this route right now. I find that if I was left to my own devices, I would probably preach on 3, 4, maybe 5 subjects at the most. It seemed like I'd keep coming back to them all the time, and different things like that. But by going through the Bible, it forces me to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, and it forces me to study the entire Bible. So that's why I preach through books of the Bible. I just enjoy doing it. Occasionally, we go off on a tangent on something else. Sometimes we get a little diversion, but mostly that's what I do. I preach through books of the Bible, and I use the King James Bible. I appreciate Pastor Lutz, who's on before us here on this program, and Pastor Risnaka, who's on after us at 2 o'clock. Both godly men who take a stand, strong stand, using the Word of God, the King James Bible, for their preaching and for their teaching in their church, and great reasons for it. And all three of us have benefited, Pastor Risnaka, Pastor Lutz, and myself, benefited greatly from some of you. Some of our listeners are familiar with Bruce Musselman, who, of course, is with the Lord now. And he, for many years, was on this station, still is, playing replays. And for a number of years, I actually helped him with some of his programs, and he would had programs where he would, Where is God's Word was his program, and he would talk about the Word of God and why the King James Bible is so important. So I encourage you to search that out on the station here. You can go to the website at whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. You can check the program schedule, and you can see where they're at, and they're still going. We also have a link to them, I think, somewhere on our page at livewithpastoral.com. I'm trying to think. I think the website for Bruce Musselman's materials is whereisgodsword.com. I believe that's what it is, whereisgodsword.com. And we have there's a number of things there, past programs and some other things there at whereisgodsword.com. Just happened to think about that here today. All right. Well, we're going to get back into the scriptures here today, looking at coming events, what the Bible has to say about the end times. And I started this several weeks back wanting to talk about the millennial kingdom. And as I started to do it, I decided I need to go through some background information first. And that background information has gone for several weeks now, and we have had a couple of diversions, and probably still will before we get to the millennium, Lord willing. But tonight, we're going to look at some things that are going to take place in the midpoint of the tribulation with the Antichrist, the coming of the Antichrist, of course, during the tribulation time. And at the midpoint of tribulation, some events are going to take place with the rise of the Antichrist and, of course, the mark of the beast and some things that will take place there. I figure we need to look at those a little bit too before we get to the millennium. So eventually we're headed toward the millennium. And of course, I can say that with confidence. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're certainly heading to the millennium as well. And we will all be there. The people who have put their faith in Christ will all be there. The Bible says ruling and reigning with him during that time period. But in the meanwhile, there are a lot of things that have to take place. And so we're going to look at some of those things here, continuing today here on Live with Pastor Al. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump into the scriptures here. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Pray that you would bless the program today. Use this time for your glory. Help us lift up and glorify Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, help us to point people that are searching to Christ that they might know Christ. Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior as well. Thank you again for the promises that we have in the scripture. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I'm looking here in Revelation chapter 13 and just looking at a place to jump in here to start. In Revelation chapter 13, we have the picture of the Antichrist, and time is short. I can't develop the entire picture, but as Revelation 13 starts out, it says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, upon his horns ten crowns, upon his heads the name of blasphemy." And this is a picture of the Antichrist. Now, we don't have time to go into all the details and description here, but essentially the ten horns are a reference to the ten kingdoms that he'll rule over. I believe the way that'll work out from other scriptures and things indicates that he'll rule over the world, and the world will be divided into ten kingdoms. Because remember, he's a false Christ, the Antichrist. He's in place of Christ. Anti doesn't always mean opposite of it. It means in place of, oftentimes. And so he's in place of Christ. And he's going to try to take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's because he rules over kingdoms. He rules over nations. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Antichrist tries to emulate that by being a king, a ruler over nations, a ruler over kingdoms. 10 areas of the world be divided into. People tried to come up with 10 nations, specific nations in Europe, but I believe this will be 10 regions that the world will be divided into. And we see that happening. A number of globalist groups have all independently come up with this idea of dividing the world into 10 regions that he'll control. And when it says that he comes up out of the sand of the sea, this is an indication that the Antichrist, this false Christ, will come up out of the Gentile nations. And the sea typically pictures the Gentile nations in the scriptures and prophecy, as opposed to the earth, which pictures the Jewish people. And we'll see, as you look a little further down in Revelation chapter 13, that there is another individual that appears, and this one here starts in verse 11. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." And of course, coming up out of the earth is an indication that he's coming up out of the Jewish people. And this will be an individual we call the false prophet. And the false prophet is going to point people to the first beast. This is the second beast, the false prophet. Point people to the first beast, which is the Antichrist, and try to get people to worship him. In fact, it says it in the next verse here in verse 12. "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed." Now, we don't have time to get into that, but it appears there'll be either a head wound or that he heals from that it looks like he would have died from. Some people think that it might be a devastating blow to his world government that that they survive and heal from. But whatever the case, we're not getting into that right now. He continues. He says, in verse 13, and he, referring to the second beast, the false prophet, and he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause it as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, this is kind of interesting. This image, this some kind of statue or some kind of image that's created, it'll appear lifelike. Well, back when this was written in John's day, this was, how could you do that? You know, they could understand carving an image of a person, let's say, out of stone or out of wood or something like that, or constructing something, sculpting something or whatever. But the idea that it would move and speak on its own as if it's alive, that was phenomenal to them. But we know how to do that today. We have, automations, animatronics that we have these things that are very lifelike, and they're developing more all the time. We also have the ability to project holographic images today that would look like something that's moving and speaking on its own. So we have all this, and with AI, of course, the ability to make it seem lifelike, we can understand how this could come to pass. But this also seems to indicate something miraculous even beyond technology, and that's probably because of the power of the devil that's working through the Antichrist and the false prophet. But he continues on where he said that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So you see, he's wanting people to worship the Antichrist. Now, what does that mean, to worship him? Well, over in 2 Thessalonians, and we've talked about this before, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is writing here, and he starts by saying, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." The man of sin or the son of perdition, those are two titles that are given to the Antichrist, the false Christ, and two different names. The man of sin, the son of perdition, continues, who opposeth and exalteth himself. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or, now note close what he, listen to what he says here closely, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, you see what he's saying there? He's talking about this idea of worship here. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. He demands that he is elevated above God and to be worshipped, to be literally worshipped as God, because it says he's going to, as God, sit in the temple of God. Well, a couple things here real quick to notice. There's no temple of God in Jerusalem right now. The temple has to be rebuilt sometime before this takes place. So the Antichrist is going to present himself in the temple. And it says, showing himself that he is God. Now, this is similar to what's said of the Antichrist in Daniel's famous prophecy of the 70 weeks of years, which is going to tell what's going to happen to the Jewish people and how they're going to be wrapped up to reach the point. Remember last week we were talking about how all Israel shall be saved. The Jewish people, by the end of the tribulation, will come to the realization that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And Zechariah chapter 13 talks about them mourning when they look on him. And he even talks about him and whom they've pierced, they mourn because they realize that their forefathers and they themselves have rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And they realize that, yes, indeed, he is the Messiah. Well, in Daniel chapter 9, this prophecy that's given in order to bring the Jewish people finally to the point where they'll accept their Messiah and God can set up the millennial reign of Christ the Messiah on the earth after this tribulation period, after the last week of the 70 weeks of years. And we have this statement in here in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and the end of the war desolations are determined. The prince he's talking about here is the prince here. It says, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. Well, that's the Romans when they destroy Jerusalem. And Titus and led the troops in, and they sacked the temple. They destroyed the temple. They destroyed the city. And that's where it said that they would destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's what happened. Well, this is another thing that says the prince is out of the old Roman Empire. This is why we believe that he'll be a Gentile, specifically out of the old Roman Empire, likely out of Europe then. And it says what he's going to do, this prince, a reference to this prince that's going to come. It says in verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Well, that's the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, and that's why we believe the tribulation will be 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he says, Daniel says, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. He's going to cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, in verse 26, it said that the sanctuary, the temple, would be destroyed. In verse 27, it's talking about a causing the sacrifice and oblation to cease. That's because, well, sacrifice and oblations have been resumed, and they are being made in the rebuilt temple. And you see how this ties in with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? He is going to go into that new temple. He's going to cause the sacrifices, the daily sacrifices and the oblations to cease, and he's going to sit himself in the temple of God. I believe he's going to intrude into the holiest, the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat is and the Ark of the Covenant, and he's going to go in there and seat himself and declare himself to be God, and that's what he's talking about here, where he says the overspreading of abominations. That's what Jesus referred to as the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And he tells the Jewish people, when you see that happen, that they're to flee. Because what's going to happen, that's when the false prophet is going to begin to tell people to worship him as God. The Antichrist will take his seat in the temple, the rebuilt temple, declare himself, showing himself to be God. He will sit there as if he is God, and he'll demand to be worshipped as God, and probably demand that all the sacrifice and oblations be made directly to him, because he's God, or at least that's what he'll claim. But he's a false God, he's a false Christ, and it's a false prophet. A false prophet will be urging people to worship him. I don't know if the false prophet will be serving as a high priest at the time or what situation he'll be in, but he'll be a religious leader. Some people have said, well, what about the Pope? Would the Pope be a false prophet? Well, the Pope isn't Jewish. But there have been cardinals who have been Jewish. I think there currently is one who could be the Pope if the current Pope was no longer the Pope and they elected a Jewish cardinal of Jewish background to become Pope. That might be it. Or it might be somebody else entirely. But whatever the case is, the false prophet is going to encourage people. Well, in Revelation chapter 13, and I see we're running out of time quickly. I was hoping to get a little further along than where we are. But this is what's going to happen too. Also, in chapter 12 of Revelation, when the devil's access to heaven is cut off and he's cast down to the earth, he's going to begin to persecute the Jewish people and people who've embraced Christ as their Savior viciously, absolutely viciously. We see some of that. when the false prophet in chapter 13 makes the image and the people who do not worship the beast, it says, should be killed. They'll be executed when they refuse to worship the Antichrist as God. Well, there's going to be some more that takes place. We're not going to have time to get into the mark of the beast here today, but I just want you to be aware there are things that are going to be happening, and things are moving on at incredible speed, setting the stage for the events of the tribulation, the rise of the Antichrist, and the global world order and a global religion. You need Christ as your Savior. I hope you know Christ as your Savior. If not, get saved today. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.